interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTW RLM 429. What a disappointing statement to say right today, isn't it? If we think about that a little bit deeper and longer, I'll get to some of that problem here later in the broadcast. But today, I was leading up to this. I just can't get to the tabs. I'm about three subject matter forks late on some things I've been wanting to talk about. But it seems to be the news is about the weather. And it was going to tie into another thing. At least, I'm not sure. I suppose it's everywhere that a fire can happen in a field. But we're coming into, I told you about this coming into this year and my observations. A little bit of concern. I don't mean the arson that went on here last year, but there's a natural consequence going on that we're being telegraphed by some scientists that are looking at data, real data, not the made-up stuff. So we're coming into a time when we really have to be careful, and I want to touch a little bit about that, but I also want to point out exploiting natural conditions, giving you a small slice of that, promoting the negative consequence, and then getting people to be concerned without really engaging, and they know people will not engage. And again, COVID is just the prime example of how people will be brought into servitude and not even really whimper about it. And so this is a particular problem for today, is here many people are going to be making some sort of a celebration. Although today, this week, a story came up, and it kind of leads into some other things as I was going to get to. I'll get to some of this stuff now relative to what this heat and stuff is doing. But they're promoting now this just a link. You might go anywhere and talk about the climate, and you're going to hear the climate change. And don't forget that, if it wasn't for Greta, I don't think really, we should just blame it on her. All this climate nonsense, which we can tie directly to the COVID, which we can tie to the Great Reset, with all these people that are behind the scenes. I don't know where they got the idea. Maybe they watched James Bond's movie too much, and they really identified with the villain that they could run the world, and they're doing it. Actually, is what's an astonishing thing. But they're doing it on mental deficiencies. A disrespect of people, and the way they did that was they made people human, they made people animals. And remember, there was a Valentine's Dictionary defined, if you can find it, defined a human as a monster that is without inheritable blood. In other words, you can't, as a monster, you don't have the right of property. And so they've turned you, that's what they've defined you as. It's a 1930 Valentine's Dictionary, I think I read, which actually stated that. Very short definition, but people don't understand what's going on when they humanize you, when the humanization comes on, and the anthropomorphic, the human cause. Everything is an inversion. The language is inverted. And I'm hoping I'll go through a little bit of that and even tie it to what people think they're doing today in that word as well. And before I lose it, shout out to Solomon. I hope you're out there. I haven't heard from you at all ever for, what, now a year and a half. Hope everything's okay. Hope you've evaded the nasty Kobe bug and the Kobe fraud around that and did okay. But it was non-dependent is what we came up with there, I think. And rightfully so, when you start understanding what these words are actually used for. And if you track those back, you start seeing, well, if everything's an opposite, 100%, 180 degrees out of what we believe, the reality that we were brought into is not understandable by us except for a false position, and we're facing the wrong direction. And I've started to come to that conviction. It's beyond a thought and a theory and a study. There is so many pieces of information that show that we have a whole lot more to do, and that's going to be another, hopefully, theme. I'll get to that. It's the do. It's just like what we saw in Libra Code. This stuff, these basic natural laws are stated in documents of history, and that's what those documents in history are there, I think, to give us the touchstones, if not the lessons on how it goes wrong, what to see, and how things are turned, what to get things started, and doing the work that it takes. And that's the point, the work. Libra Code said, you know them when you see them, what they do, not by what they say. And these are constant themes throughout this, a reality that pierced through what we watch going on as an accepted servitude And the problem is, even those like myself, if you, any of us that say, no, we don't agree, if we're not taking steps to work against it, we're in agreement with it. And I've talked about this. I'm not the only one, but I've talked about this pretty focused, and I've given maybe different than anybody else, I think, hard and fast, tangible tools to work with to move this for each one of us. And this is where it's going to, as I've told you, this is where this COVID fraud allowed each one of us to stand up and be the free man or woman we expected was available to us. And this would be exposing, this COVID fraud would expose to us our weakness. It would expose the illusion, and it would expose that we have the opportunity now to work to stop it. Finally, roll up the sleeves and do it. Now, not many did, not many have. Those that have tried are reaching the resistance, which you would expect, but there's no support behind that. And as I say that, thank you very much to Goodman Brown on Twitter for taking interest in responding on Twitter, and then also Grimner through the RLM Twitter. Don't do that very much anymore. I've backed off because of what they're doing. But just to go off and throw Acme Behind the Woodshed life rafts or life preservers, throwing it out once a week for anybody that's still a survivor of the Twitter tannic, that's all, understand, it's all legacy media that was brought up and retooled that is now controlling you. And so, again, there's going to be a contingent of people that have more knowledge and smarts about, well, I guess intelligence. We can't do smarts, right? Smart everything is killer. Intelligence, in order to we bring on the next iteration within the context of the Internet of Things. And that guy I just heard died. So maybe there's a sunny day coming. Maybe those people that imposed all this are going away, and we're going to be able to have that noise and that anchor that they've set for themselves destroyed as we move through. But so this week, these weeks coming in have been, with the heat and stuff. And what caught my eye was the deaths. I didn't realize that people were dying around this. In an environment that I live in, I'm living in an environment, I tell you, we only have four seasons in Oregon. We do have all four. They were what? They were fall, winter, spring, and August. And I told you that this, I forgot to, I couldn't get to tell you yesterday, last week, I mean, say yesterday, I mean last week, that August came a month early. 2 years before, August didn't really show up. The year before that, it did show up. But this time we went from spring to August in like 2 days. And we've been sitting in right around 100 and plus degree temperatures. And then I found out people are dying around all this. And then I saw the stories come out. And this was almost predictable. I don't put much focus on it, but now I'll do it here. The story I caught on an ear to, and then it leads on to this stuff, is the story of the week, an angry climate. And I want to expose here how we anthropomorphize nature in order to use that to destroy people. It's this anthropomorphic imposition on nature. The climate is not angry. The Earth, Mother Nature, the Earth, could not give a polar vortex relative to what man and mankind is about on Earth. In fact, I think maybe George Carlin was right. It may take interest when we stop producing plastic, because that's what it made us for, as we adapted and evolved, right? No, we just weren't placed here at all. That can't be a possibility of all the things we all don't know. None of this can be a possibility, can it? No, it's just that we're here and we're destined to kill the Earth. Well, we're not. And this is an interesting problem. But here, an angry climate. The climate is not angry. That is someone's imposition of an emotion upon a natural thing that has no sense about that. And so we start off on the wrong foot all the time with this stuff. And this story goes, it's talking about this heat wave supposedly going in Kanukistan in the West, and it's killing people apparently. But, you look, it's just like COVID. It's killing people. Apparently it kills people all the time. I'm astonished that it killed people around me. We do this every year. I don't even know what the question is. Why is it news? But that's the point. It is news, isn't it? And then we get this story, the angry climate. Like, it has a thought. And yet that's an anthropomorphized imposition on nature, and this is the problem. Remember, humans cause climate change. And I've told you, Climate change as a term is a politics. It's a political agenda. It's not climate changing. It's not nature. And once people get the idea when they're saying climate change, they're changing your politics. They're changing the nature of your nation. They're going to do the Great Reset, or at least that's their plan. And I hear crickets. I'm looking at an embarrassment about what people may think about today. Is Canada too hot? Where is it safe? This week's deadly record-smashing Pacific Northwest heat wave was unusual, but experts blame climate change. Those slow drips under pressure got no proof that any of this can be possible. They will not, for any of us that done this study, and you've heard me talk about this forever, as long as it was something that I was in broadcasting, when you take, and the hockey stick came up, we got it all proven out, when you take all the data and you compress down your view through a blind, a straw that you're looking through, relative to the natural heat and variations of temperature on this earth, you realize, or you have to realize you've been duped. These experts are those people that are trying to get the future we want. We is everyone, a union. We is a unity, and we has no place for the non-dependent. Those, each one of you, and this is why COVID was so powerful, because each one of you has the right to step up and defend yourself. And very few, if any, have actually in broader context. But so they go and they blame climate change on for this heat. When you realize, when you look at the overall and even the estimated temperatures about what this earth has done over time, if we go beyond even the biblical reference and we get into millions of years, we're looking at such a narrow band and variation. It's pathetic that people even continue to agree to this. This place was so much warmer and more humid in the past, and maybe even recent past relative to all of time, that it's embarrassing that we even continue to listen to this nonsense. This place was so much warmer, and things survived. In fact, things adapted into those environments. So moving on to the story, now that this is a little news blurb I got, now that they don't have to imagine what a hurricane-level heat event looks like, and this must be in the death scenario, in the U.S. and Canada, estimates of fatalities have exceeded 500, and lightning has triggered more than 130 Canadian wildfires after satellite imagery recorded 156 degree surface, not air, temperatures in Washington State. Now, got to listen to carefully, because this is where they are creating this is where you start seeing the clues, if you know what they're talking about, the clues as to say that you'll find that humans caused this, because the data they'll be pulling from is going to be human selected and cherry picked. These are the animals that are trying to drive you to believe that you cause any of this. Look very carefully at how they did not get 156 temperature reading from a satellite looking on the backside of a cow. No cud-chewing cow measured 156 degrees. Where would you find that temperature? Well, I suppose it could be the ground, but I doubt if it's just bare ground. It has to be something that's man-made, right? And so my thought more like this is this is coming from an urban, rural, the urbanites, trying to promote that the rural is no good and what man's production is no good, as I've talked to you about before. But we're going to find out that they're not measuring this on nature. They're measuring this in a place, and I'm going to give you the term as we'll go to it, because the EPA agrees with this. Now, some place they're measuring what they call urban heat islands, which is strictly a man-made concentration of population and, you know, your infrastructure. They're not looking at the total nature. And so they pick a place that they know is going to generate, certainly 156 degrees, probably nothing off the hood of a car or a whole bunch of cars, depending on where that satellite came down and looked at an average temperature. We don't know how the data works where they're looking, but we're going to find out there's something that the EPA knows about. They'll talk about it. I got a link for it. They talk about the problem is the heat islands. So if Greta wants to say that, you know, monsters are causing the problem, maybe it's the urbanites making the heat islands that's going to be the problem. But here we have them anthropomorphizing climate to be angry. It could care less. They're telling us of 156 degree surface temperature. Now, I suppose it could be 156 degrees in places. I'm not saying that it couldn't in nature, but it's going to be in a rare spot. And it was interesting, what I was going to report on last week that I never got to, it was warmer in places like Redding, on the ground, and there's interesting little tools you can get off the internet, on the ground than it was in Death Valley. It wasn't 156, but it was much hotter on the ground. Right above the ground, it starts to decrease very quickly, although we have been living in August over a month and a couple weeks ahead of time now. In other words, August is where the temperatures go to 100 and go to 115 or 16 and stay there for about a week. And I was just concerned this earlier in March for us that we might be seeing a hotter season sooner and then moving in longer. And that was because we talk about it because going to the mining claim, we got to worry about fires all the time because it's up around us and they firebombed us. And we had two guys trapped behind a fire line that the Forest Service firebombed even after they got a letter not to do it. And so we're having to be careful about ourselves because it's risky out there, folks. The government's out there to hurt you. And they don't really care, and because there's nobody that wants to focus on this, it's whoever has to fight the government and those who believe that they have the cover of a color of authority to do so, it's us against them that way. Not us like all the people, no, just the ones that are having to do something to produce in the world who have to put up with this nonsense. Going on to the story now, so 156 degree surface temperature, that wasn't off the backside of a cow, I can just tell you that. It just wasn't. So it's got to be someplace else. Now, the question is whether elected officials around the world will take action to cut greenhouse gas emissions or continue to debate the science, until the next heat disaster strikes. When is that going to be next, first of all? Secondly, greenhouse gas emissions is a fraud. There's no proof of that whatsoever. It's this fairy tale, this thing, the myth that they've created. There are gases in the atmosphere that you could find in a greenhouse, but there's no correlation in proving that is a fact either. And even if it was, there's no talking about how it bleeds off. The atmosphere is not impervious, so it's not really like a sealed system. The system is much bigger. They call it a solar system on top of that, and it's bigger than that. And so to continue the debate on science, there is no science. Best science is not science. Best science is BS. Science, at best, is an ongoing question of what we think we know to the best of our ability to create the facts of objective facts. Nothing within climate change is science or based on science or on a quest to find out what we know. If they did, they would recognize the sun. Part of this is that when you humanize the monster causing your environment, mental harm, you exclude nature, and that would include the sun, that would include gamma rays, that would include the interaction of the atmosphere in the balancing act that it does so interesting and so well without us having to do anything. Oh yeah, people die under the hurricane level and the heat level heats. They also drown when it's raining somewhere or freeze as you found out in Texas. Remember the Texas freeze? Okay, so it's a dynamic environment, and yet they came out this week on the heels. It's like a shooting. As soon as there's a mass shooting or whatever, even a few people, all of a sudden they go after your guns, these people. Can't leave well enough alone. They're going to impose their world on you, and their world is a we, not a you. I'm not talking, not a E-W-U, Y-O-U. Moving on. An angry climate. That's the anthropomorphication of climate. That is a political statement, not a science. There is no science that speaks to this. There is only BS. Best science is not science. It's a standard of application of also best practices that are generated by whom? The same urbanites and the academics that are making their citadels in their cities that are actually, they're measuring what they're causing in the nature, which they use as the temperature guidelines for the world. Self-inflicted wound, it seems to me. And then look at the answers. The answers are like COVID, completely arbitrary and capricious. They have to be because they don't have deal with anything real. Now, I've got another thought about this heat. it's not being talked about. Maybe you've thought about it yourself. I don't know. Just a thought came to my mind. But let's look at the weather. Hot weather. Weather now, not climate. But hot weather linked to higher death counts in Vancouver than many other cities. Hot weather can kill a lot of people. Yeah, I guess it can. What I find interesting is that it kills them in Vancouver. There's no sense to protect ourselves. And I'm saying this, I'm sitting in a place that was over 110 degrees, got no air conditioning, really can't afford, don't have the power to do it, can't afford it, I wouldn't run it, I've figured out how to do other things, and I'm still here. Now I know there's some extraneous conditions, the world's not perfect, but we do this every year. Vancouver maybe not so much. The people in Vancouver don't have the sense to start taking care of themselves. And for those of you that may not understand, at least hydrate yourself, folks. It's called drinking water. That helps. If you got a running water, take a quick shower. In fact, when I lived out in the forest, when it got really hot like this, I had a little stream that came down all year, and I replumbed that temporarily because I didn't want to lose the life that was sit down on the waterfall. And I created a shower for myself. And just about the time it got real, real hot, right before the wind started, because that became another problem, the breeze that comes up every day, I would go take a nice, it's 40-degree refrigerator temperature shower. Do that for yourself. All right? People can't figure this out. Anyway, moving on to this. So people are dying on this heat, but it's almost an infinitesimal amount. In a place that people should expect that it happens. It's interesting. The Pacific Northwest is just an extension of the Mediterranean style in climate. And this can happen. This is not unknown that what's going on here. And like I said, we get our August, 115, 112, 110 degrees for a week. Okay, Vancouver, British Columbia, maybe unexpected, but I know you folks have the sense to stay out of the heat and do things, but no, they come up and they say, well, the University of British Columbia environmental epidemiologist Kate Weinberger, who studies links between climate change and human health. They can't even do that, but this is the university system. So, Kanukistan, you have the same problem the United States does in the university system driving the narrative. They'll say that's science, they'll give you all the big university, the big discussion, the big titles, and none of it is actually science. They just make these connections. And did I just tell you before, Greta and COVID embraced? And here it is right there, who studies the links between climate change and human health. And that's going to be a little key as we move on in the news. What's missing this week relative to these heat deaths? She and four other researchers looked at 297 U.S. counties representing 61.9% of the American population in 2000, 21 years ago in 2000. So to get 61% of the population, they had to look at 297 counties which have a high population, minimal counties, and guess what? High population. Can I say the term again? Urban heat islands? They estimated that an average of 5,600 deaths each year from 1997 to 2006 would be attributed to heat. Okay, well, that's the deaths that the vaccine's causing, and no one's really too worried about it. Quote, they are here on the, as they pointed out in Journal of Environmental Epidemiology, our results suggest that the number of deaths related to heat in the United States is substantially larger than previously reported to researchers. Well, why are they talking about the United States? This is the University of British Columbia. They should have been studying to help you folks up in Vancouver. Maybe we'd had less deaths. But no, they want to make sure that they tie climate change to human health. And what did they just do now as they transition from climate change into COVID fraud? As I told you. She goes on to say here, they relied on maps of urban heat islands in the city where the humidex index exceeded 34.4 C. So they looked specifically where man creates infrastructure. They didn't look as an overall scene. They're high grading the information, and they're saying if you live in a city, you're going to be living in a self-initiated heat island. You think when they knew that, they would be taking extra precautions since the meteorologist knew the heat was coming. Even though they've been wrong quite a bit this year. So urban heat islands is what their focus is, not global climate change. It's not global. It's not a global view. It's always what they do. It's similar to the Fukuzilla problem, where the EPA had those radiation monitors, and those radiation monitors are wherever they have nuclear facilities, whether that's tests or whatever, like hospitals and whatever I told you about then. And so they're monitoring for that stuff. And when the detector started going off, they started realizing people were going to see that that's what they check for. It's already here. Same thing here. They're going to check what the heat island effect does, because that's the how they get their numbers. That's the hockey stick type stuff. And if you don't realize that's what they're doing, you think that the 156 degrees came out off the back end of a cow, who nevertheless is also producing the methane which causes the greenhouse problem, doesn't it? But moving on here, as we see the link, that I told you this was happening, they're continually linkaging up this situation relative to climate change and health, human health, with this COBE fraud, which is all fabricated. If it's anything, it's been synthetically created and novel. It's been patented. I've told you all of this. Now it seems to be people are saying it now. I'm pretty interested to watch how people now understand novel means patented. It has to be, by definition, has to be man-made. Notice they don't say human-made there. At any rate, because they're doing it. See, they don't want to call attention to those terms and them, the we, which is not you. Historic heat wave linked to hundreds of deaths in the Pacific Northwest and Canada. So if this British Columbia University scientist was interested in this, you think we would be looking a little bit closer what's actually causing this. But see, they don't have the cause. It's like COVID fraud. They have no cause and they have no test. It's all the identical implementation. They call it the historic heat wave. Okay, I've said it before. I'm going to ask again. Historic since when? We'd be looking for that. Historic since when? The heat wave that scorched the great deal of the Pacific Northwest has been blamed on hundreds of deaths. Okay, and I don't want to see or hear anybody dying. But they're saying they're blaming it on the heat. How'd they prove that? I'm leading somewhere here with this, folks, when you start hearing that they're looking at human health, too. And what you're not hearing in this story, in these stories, relative to the same people that propagandize and push the narrative, something dropped from the record here. 486 sudden deaths have been reported between Friday and Wednesday, and a number is set to increase. Sudden deaths. Interesting. Very interesting. The historic heat wave. Okay, great. Historic. Since when? That scorched a great deal of Pacific Northwest and caused record high temperatures in Canada has been blamed for hundreds of deaths in Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia in the past week. And again, sorry to hear it, but you know they had freezing weather in Canada, the same place that's scorching this week, last week. The beekeeper that I watch on YouTube, he's complaining. All of a sudden, they're going to go down to freezing temperatures for a couple days. See, the Earth is a dynamic climatic system and machine. We have no clue about it. Anyway. It goes up and down, it changes, and like I've said, this interest for me is now looking at the slight percentage lower humidity all the time, which could be drying the environment out, and then I look around the world and you find out monsoons and torrents of rain are coming down, washing hillsides away everywhere. Well, that's where the moisture is going. It's dropping out of the air and landing in the body that has to then be evaporated back into the system. It takes time to do that. The oscillations of the Pacific are in 10-year spans through its heat and heating and cooling by this overturning type thing. And yet, it's pretty stable. I mean, really, over time, I've been a little disappointed with all the rocking and rolling that can go on and how stable it really is. But people die. People die all the time. Millions and millions of people affected, and we got 500 people die. It's the same fear-mongering that's going on with the COBE fraud, and there is still no test on either one of them. And so while we see that heat can kill, yeah, please, folks, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Take care of those around you. Make sure people are hydrated. They understand open windows or whatever. There's a certain management system I use for my windows. I close everything down, and I sit in the heat, and it starts to get humid up until right about the time the breeze starts. And we're blessed to have the breeze in the afternoon, and that helps to keep it so I don't need an air conditioner. I just tolerate the heat. And then I use nature to help evacuate the place that's been heated up all day. I mean, it's the management system I use. So far we're here. I'm talking to you. Can't be too dead, I don't think. Well, maybe the subject matter to you might be dead, but I would feel sad if that was the case. This is important kind of things going on as they keep the narrative and keep you controlled. Even in not working against it is that certain control. They go on to say here that Portland reached 116 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm going to have to take their word on it. I was looking all over the place. I didn't see that temperature, actually. But 116, that's pretty hot. But, you know, I've been through 116 right where I sit. Did okay. Yeah, it was uncomfortable. But we made it. All right? No one dies. Anyway, but stop here. They're talking about this, a true health crisis. Extreme heat wave. They're saying people are dying because of the heat wave. Heat wave followed by surge of excessive deaths. Okay, I just want to focus on those, on the deaths. How are they proving this actually was caused by the heat? I have a couple of these links showing you that this was a big news coming across, focusing on the Northwest, Pacific Northwest way, and it was a lot hotter in the north, no doubt, but Spokane, I think, gets pretty hot at times. It's like in desert type. Eastern Oregon is like desert. So that's why they have the Klamath Dam, because there was no water there. They had to make water so that they could make agriculture. So this is just an extension of the California Mediterranean climate that invades us every year. It's understood. And so I'm astonished. I see astonishing numbers. I'm astonished that there was any numbers that they're attributing to this. Where was the government before this happened to start telling people how they were going to protect themselves? Wasn't there. No, they were on another point. What is the other point? Northwest heat wave sparks calls for transformative climate action. Transformative climate action. All the words of the future we want. Nothing about what you want. And how long, I asked you, how long? When was the last time? And I don't know if I'm going to find a spot as I move up here, but so before I forget it, one story said that the heat record that was posted in Portland was a 40-year-old record, and then it was broken the day later. So we know that these high temperatures are cyclic every 40 years, based on that, just that view, that we can reach in those areas those temperatures. It's not. It may be historic, but it's not unknown and not unanticipatable every 40 years. But let's look at the type of jump that happened. Going from spring to the season of August in a month early and just immediately turned over. What kind of an event is this climactically? As the Pacific Northwest and southwestern Canada bake under what's being described as a once-in-a-millennium heat dome, green groups on Monday reiterated the need for transformational change, hope and change, to address the climate emergency. This is a political climate emergency, folks, not a weather emergency. It never has been an emergency every time I've lived through it. It's just something you put up with. While progressive U.S. lawmakers underscore the imperative for any infrastructure legislation to center climate action. You think that Mother Nature is going to be impressed about what mankind can do against the weather? I don't think the sun would care either. Extreme heat in Portland is literally melting our critical infrastructure. It's yet another striking example for why our infrastructure package must center climate action. Now, this is a term, a phrase, center climate action, and this is done by another hedonist, Errol Blumenauer. The problem was that apparently electrical wires were melting, and my thought on that is kind of like what you do floodplain and watershed management. You have to go back a certain amount of time. We have the 100-year floodplain plan. You just don't build anything valuable in that area. Why? Because once 100 years, this is going to happen. Now we see once in a millennium this happens, and these people that did the risk management of building their infrastructure didn't plan on it, and they had the bad luck that it did happen this millennium. That the time value now here for this, by their own admission, by the progressives' admissions, this shouldn't happen. And we are still in a time when it could continue to happen for many years. Again, it's a slow translation as it goes through, and whether the weather changes and Mother Nature adjusts and the oceans do their thing, and the sun does its thing every day, and the radiation, cosmic rays come in and do everything every day, and our magnetic magnetosphere is changing and altering the whole time. So much cool stuff going on. And we're going to reduce it down to taking centered climate action. Do something about the poles moving, folks. I mean, these people. Temperatures exceeded 110 degrees in Portland is not consistent with 116 degrees with the other story, is it? So now we see the promotion. But this is a once in a millennium. People who created the system didn't count that the heat would hit us in the electrical system, and they started having problems. And it was melting wires, apparently. Actually, it was probably melting things because there were so many people throwing on air conditioners, okay? They just didn't plan for that. Now, are we to believe they should make this great centralization of climate action for that when it's probably not going to happen again? Or do we just go fix right now those minimal things and understand that those things didn't quite make the once in a millennium condition? And we really don't have to worry about the problem for another millennia, do we? I don't know what the big story is here. They made some infrastructure that just didn't survive. Let's fix it, move on. No, they're going to make it a center of climate action. This is similar to what they've done with the coronavirus. The common cold has now become the foe, and it can't. But everyone bought into it. So much so that they're willing to be part of the stage 4 clinical experimentation, your guinea pig. Went from cud-chewing cows to guinea pigs. That's an evolution. That's an adaptation. All in the wrong direction relative to today's supposed celebration. Let's get into, we heard about the phrase coming from the measurements and what they were looking at through the university. They're tied in with the EPA. The EPA is the pillar of the environmental pillar of the UN agendas that we hear, the Agenda 21 and all that stuff. Climate change indicators, heat-related deaths. In the U.S., the EPA is, you can go right to one of their sites, climate change indicators. And now here's, they push the narrative. They keep pushing what they think is going to, this will prove it to you. But you go down and you go down far enough and you start reading. Even the EPA knows that they're dealing with heat islands. They're dealing with man-caused infrastructure, that the same infrastructure that Blumenauer will tell you they need more of, they want to put more, and that's where they're getting these temperatures. If you look at some of this, you might want to, maybe we would think that it might be the heat island effect that's the problem. The urban heat island is admitted to be the accentuation of a problem. Can't be that the Earth is suffering a climate change. It is people who've sat back a long time and thought about how they were going to explain a narrative and a propaganda to get you to buy in, their public buy-in, by all the same characters in order to get you to capitulate to the future we want. It's not you, but we is a communitarian imposition. It has no basis in science whatsoever. It all is perception management. And they keep giving you the numbers about the heat island effect and talking about it, and no one kind of looks and says, wait a minute, 156 degrees can't be measured on the back of a cow chewing cud. What is that speaking to? That's speaking to production. There's no producer that creates the kind of energy that they're talking about at the level of an urbanite center. And so I'm looking here, instead of worrying about this infrastructure that Blumenauer wants to talk about investing, maybe we should start tearing some of it down. Maybe we should go back to a more pastoral life. We have plenty of land. Oh, but wait, that will mean that we have to make more dams and keep the ones we have because we're going to need more water spread out over the land, aren't we? Well, that's not going to work, so we better not talk about it. So they go through and they talk about where they're getting their data. They go through and they talk about how the climate is changing. It's just the political climate. And what's changing is they're diminishing the resistance in the people. And that came up, how fast and how easy they could do that was COVID-19. Nobody challenged it at all. And those few that have are not moving quite as fast as they ought to, but that's predictable. And the rest of you should see that and kind of came and put your shoulder to the wheel. Why? Because it's not, you're going to have faith in the other guy. It's about works. It's about people coming to do the work. Out of 100 plus in Northwest investigated to ties to heat, Oregon health officials blame 60 deaths on heat wave out of 100 plus in the Northwest investigation ties to heat. Oregon officials blame over 60, it was 63 last count I saw, on a heat wave out of 100 plus Northwest investigated for ties of heat. I keep reading this because this is the Pioneer Police State. These people, these health officials, were able to determine that heat was the cause of death. How'd they do that? Was there a test? How'd they do that? How did they not? The week before, they were blaming almost all deaths on what? COVID-19. They never, these same health officials, never, ever found a contagious principle in a man or woman that was a risk to the community. None. Not one jurisdiction. All those counties the BC University looked at, the high populations, none of those did either. Remember, they did say they were looking at cities. And so you see cooking the books right in the news, how they're taking, presenting an issue that people buy into pretty readily, like they did Kobe fraud. What is missing, if they're talking about health, and last week they were talking Kobe fraud was killing everybody, how did they know that it wasn't COVID fraud killing these people today with the comorbidity of the heat stress? How'd they make that discrimination? It's not talked about. I'm astounded. How did they know of those 500 or more people that died, and there was actually more being harmed and a lot more that they couldn't tell, they admit they couldn't tell. How do they know that it wasn't because people got the jab? How do they know it wasn't affected because people got the jab and then got hot? How do they know that people didn't go into a fever and then that heat drove them over the edge? How do they know? If they got heat and drove over the edge, it would look like heat did it. In fact, it could have been the shot. How do we know? Why isn't that? There's no discussion on this connection. And I can't tell you one way or the other. I just found it astounding. Instant death is not, that was really the historic story. And that's the same thing that's going on with people with injections. Instant death or instant maiming. Once it happens, yes, they go into symptoms, but then they're gone. And I find it fascinating that a health authority who's run everybody down in the Pioneer Police State in Oregon would be able to change to see the difference between heat-related death from the weather or Kobe fraud fever by injection. And they can make that distinction where they've never, ever, ever determined what the infectious agent is. That's really one of the answers, because they never have. They wouldn't have to. If not, then what about all the other things they've done under Kobe fraud? Every state, this is not just Oregon now. Not one place where there was instant death did the word vaccine pop up. I have to use that word because that's the word they use. Not one. I've told you to look for the absences of things, the silence in the sound, the beat, the pause is the music. And moving on. In this Kobe fraud thing, there was a condition that happened also in the Pioneer Police State. And another unprecedented thing, not the heat wave that's only going to come one millennia after the next that we probably don't have to worry about anymore. And if we don't, I mean, it's going to go on. It's, again, the historic, if we can believe prior, millions of years prior, the weather on the Earth existed, we have an indication of what we can kind of piece together. We were under extremely hot temperatures that we haven't seen today. The other condition was the construction of the Earth might have been a little bit different. Life was adapted a little bit different. And a lot of that life went away when the light, when we changed, when whatever, and there may have been catastrophes that affected us. We're told of a flood. There were likely others. And I touch all this briefly because a lot of people will just, they don't listen to the, they don't try to figure it. They throw the baby out with the bathwater a lot of times. So I don't get too locked into certain things. But we have evidence there was a flood. We have evidence, science, observation, there was something that's gone on, and multiple times. If you don't believe in one flood, if you don't believe in a flood, we have lots of interesting geological conditions that just explain a very dynamic Earth. That climate change, even the 1.5 centigrade degree increase in 100 years, would make no matter to us if it was happening today. We live in a very stable world generally. But while this is going on, while Kobe Fraud is not blamed for the instant death that happened in the heat wave, knowing that some people would die in the heat wave and do every year, about the same that Kobe Fraud injections have caused, interestingly, that no one wants to really bring up. But an Oregon lawmaker who said, by the title here, Oregon Live is the communist news propaganda system for Oregon State. The Oregon lawmaker who let far-right demonstrators into Capitol charged with criminal misconduct. At the same time, we see that a legislator, of all things, can be charged with criminal conduct. Nobody else in the state has been charged with fraud and irreparably harming the state or anyone in any capacity. So we know if the system wants to go after somebody, even a so-called representative, they can. And yet you didn't see one official go down for Kobe Fraud. Is the problem. This is an interesting story a bit. Oregon lawmaker, he's put on charges because it's shown in video, he opens the door, there were some demonstrators out, so supposedly far left, they were armed, folks, they were actually armed. They're at their own state house. They were objecting to the fact that while there was a hearing inside, the people couldn't watch, not open hearings that were required under the Constitution. And this representative walks out, opens the door, he walks out and leaves the building, they walk in on the open door. This representative gets hit with criminal charges, criminal conduct for doing that. Nobody's mentioning this Kobe Fraud restrictions that he was supposedly in violation at this point that I understand was a fraud on the people. But someone goes down. So we know that the government can do that. All based on the same Kobe Fraud, right? All based on the same human health and climate change connection. Everybody is so made so important to themselves to scrutinize, to come up with answers, solutions, which end up not being anything in rationale because it's nothing but a myth they make up. And they have to do that. They have to cherry pick the information in order to create the biggest fairy tale, biggest horror story. Okay, so this is, understand you're being talked to like children. The state's ward. The father of the state, the father is the state. And go through and start studying how this works out. You're going to start to understand you are independent. And that's not necessarily a good thing. Oregon lawmaker gets hit for apparently letting the far right, all these are charged, politically charged words, but nobody in the state of Oregon went down for the fraud of the Kobe fraud of implementing irreparable harm upon the people. No one calls it out. No one will allow, as I've suggested to you, that was the people's building to come in and listen. They didn't have the right to stop it. No one seems to want to talk about the core issues. And that is another indicative, as I see, whether it's Republican or Democratic Party across the country, and the non-aligned as well, allowing it all, because the non-aligned are a big party. It might be considered the libertarian style, but non-aligned, they don't have affiliations. They also don't participate in some of the elections for the party elections. But they have a big population block, political block, that doesn't act. I think the system takes as much a temperature of that as anything else. But we're moving into this Pioneer Police State makes policy. They want to do this climate action nonsense. they will deny that the urban heat islands they create with all this infrastructure is the information they're claiming is causing global change. When you look at most of the coverage, the surface of the Earth is not an urban heat island. These are anomalies, just like the hockey stick. And you have to understand, if they had, even with these types of temperatures, when they had to do a hockey stick, you know how it's got to be bad. But the point about getting to here is, government of Oregon and every state, Washington came out with this heat again. Inslee, the other jerk up in Washington, he came out. He's the one who shut down his whole state faster than anybody else, and the judiciary agreed. And I called all that out for you. I showed you what was coming. And this is why it's not going away. The future we want, not for you, is going to make you independent. You're going to be independent with these people. Make policy that's contrary to what should be happening. Every policy it seems they make is to lock things down, to make things more austere, to make you have less and be able not to respond. And I've been waiting. Like I said, things are happening so fast, I can't get to everything in a week. We've got about 3 or 4 different tracks I want to talk about that are not Coby fraud, but they don't really rise up more to try and explain to you all how you're going to defend yourself against this ongoing attack that's going on. It's not over because they're lifting this thing. Again, it was predicted. How could they predict federally that this thing could be lifted for July 4th, that you would feel free? No, that's all psychological warfare to make you feel, you think you're free. Oh, we get free at last, free at last. And everybody in unison did that. How could they do that? How could they do a month ahead of time, oh, Coby fraud's going to be over in a month? How could you do that without people saying, wait a minute, how do you know that? And because you did it that way, you're committing crime. Nobody steps up to protect themselves. And I've offered you for, a year and a half maybe now, how you start to go about doing that. But here's the thought problem for ourselves in the West. Yes, there is heat. Yes, it's dry. Yes, we have problems. You also know, you're listening to someone, those of you that are, and I thank you very much. And hopefully you're passing the word around, however you can get it out there. You're listening to someone who worked diligently with another colleague and a commissioner who would listen and do the work, do the hard work to push it through. With someone who did, I initiated the analysis of the national wildfire policy because we know we're coming into these times of heat, but it's not because of climate change. It's because of the systemic dynamic of what's going on in the solar system as well is such that it looks like we were going to go into an increasing, we think it's hotter, but it's really not relative to the historic time, maybe more than a millennia back. But the policies that I read in there, I found out the local government has the authority. No different that the local government has the authority in health. The local government has the authority for wildlife, the state authority here. And then given within the state what the legislature did maybe to hand the local authority to your local counties. In looking all that, the National Wildfire Policy Act indicated that the power was in the counties. And so these stories about what the state of Oregon and this comes out of California, because of the criminal acts of a utility company. Listen to how stupid this starts to be, how dangerous this is. Because PG&E is a criminal corporation. Not my opinion. They've got plenty of crimes they've done that they've been convicted of. Lots of money going down the tubes. But that state said, well, since you're doing such a bad job, we're going to give you the right to shut down all the power when you can show us that we have a need, and wildfire will be good enough. The criminal police state of Oregon has now adopted that position. They're going to allow a utility to not just brown out, but to black out as a policy consideration to fight wildfire. Don't do policies ahead of time that keep it from happening or limiting it. As we've already shown that we did. In my analysis, I gave the white paper to my colleague who then worked through the process and then with some mentoring on my part to guide it through twists and turns of the goo of government with the commissioner who was helping to advance the point. They were able to get a county to change their it was an offshoot direction, but it wasn't quite as much as I thought could happen, but we'll take what we can get. They had to make a change, a simple little change in the policy of the land management for the federal government plans that the county has power to do. And when they did that, and they shut down all prescription burn in summer, I know, huh? Yeah, shut down all prescription burns in summer. All of a sudden, our fires went down to near nothing, and our air cleared up. You'd have thought, and then the commissioner was standing on the podium in Washington, D.C., as Trump said, this is a commissioner who knows how to manage the forest. 2 years later, we get the arson coming through, the arsonists, to try and burn the place back down. Why? Because they couldn't do it prescription-wise. This is the same, you know about the Klondike fires, where a co-owner and a minor helper, helping us, they got stuck behind an arson firebombing. We got the video too, folks, and this is, they knew what they were doing. They knew we were in there. And so this is a little bit near and dear to my heart when the government comes out to do these sorts of policies that I saw this headline weeks ago and I wanted to lead with it, but it just kept being pushed back. The fire policy that was done in the land management plan, which was adopted by a second county and shut down the fires and shut down the smoke a couple years ago until the arsonists hit. And then this is the year after that. And so far we're doing so good because there's no fires. Yeah, I know, folks. No fires. Don't set a fire in the summer. They had to be told that. Should be another clue to you about what you're living in. But this is a headline run by the propaganda news article, OregonLive.com. For Oregon, prepping for 2021 wildfires. Oregon adopts rules for preemptive blackouts by utilities. Prepping is what caught my mind. Prepping. This is how the state preps for fire. Gives a private company, I told you the public-private partnershiping on this is going to be your death until you step in and shut it down. But they're giving a private power company, utility, the power to do a blackout in your area. That's the answer to the state trying to handle something completely contrary to what we were showing. Well, the fire policy is you just don't start a fire when you're vulnerable. And you require those companies that are not investing in their infrastructure like PG&E did because of the money had to go to the shareholders. They stopped doing the maintenance they needed to do, causing the problem. No, instead of forcing that, because the bottom line to the shareholder is more important than your life and your property, they gave the power of the power to shut off the power to you in California. It's now being adopted in California as a preparation, as prepping. That's what they call prepping for wildfire. They don't care to stop the wildfire. They don't care to put their assets in the right place in the right time. They don't care to change anything on a state level. In fact, they're doing this to counter what I think we've done a couple of years ago. But they give they incentivize the ability to cut power instead of doing the maintenance they need to keep the fires starting from the power company, if that's what was going on. Again, on what? On long-term weather, climactic conditions which cause intense winds which affect the weakest parts of the system. That California got took by surprise a bit on that. I got that part, but not the second year and not the third year. That the governments come in and hand a private public partnership the power, the right to turn off your power in the summer during a fire is a problem. You need to understand how they did it. And you need, and I got some links here on what they did in the rules. And I went to read the rules, and I'm going to give you the link to those rules. And I want you to read, find it for me. What other than notifying the government, the commission, is the protection to the people relative to the power that gets cut off when they need the power to run pumps and things to run to be defending their own property? This turns directly on the fact that they violated their own administrative procedures to do this. There was last year when I understand when Phoenix and Talent burnt up because a fire started in Ashland, which is a let it burn city. Ashland, Oregon is a let it burn city. It was one of the main oppositions to the policies that I was attempting to help, what we ended up getting them through anyway, they didn't want to let it, they wanted to have prescription burn, to let things burn up in the summertime. That's where a fire started. That fire went up the valley, took out the greenway, burned up most of two towns. And the complaint was, the city had not prepared the fire hydrants enough. There was only four to service the whole place. Four water hydrants. The problem with this blackout is now the power can be shut off regional wide, and New York can't even have the power to run the water to run those four hydrants. And the only protection that you have is a report that can happen 30 days later from the utility. Is the type of prepping that the state's doing to save you, which is not to save you at all. What it is to set you up with do less. You're going to do with less power. They don't want you to be doing, they want to take every ability to have less power and use power, take away your right to defend your property. And they do it by a system of government that imposes essentially fear, intimidation, and dread by definition as a terrorism, all the while saying that they're fighting terrorism. So prepping for 2021 wildfires in Oregon is the handing a utility the ability to shut off your power right at the time you need to use it. The rules I read, I could not find the check and balance more than there just has to be notices being passed back and forth. And it's not like immediate. Wasn't much of a protection for everybody. And the whole reason for this was another link here. Other utilities cut power to reduce Labor Day fire risks. The year California burnt in Labor Day. Pacific Power did not. Now it may face the consequences. Is the impetus for the government to hand through the administrative procedures, promulgation of rules, the power to shut your power off, black you out in summertime. And this is regional wide. They don't have to do it down to where they think the fire is. And when I'm looking at this thing and realizing we sent a letter, told the county and the command unit that was doing the firefighting at the Klondike fire, we told them not to firebomb and put assets in the valley that had no access. It's a one narrow road in, treacherous, it's a valley that's steeper than, it's a cliff. Don't firebomb that, put assets, don't let that fire get up in there because we have miners in there. And 2 days later, they started literally firebombing. I got the maps where they were using a drone to firebomb. They firebombed the whole valley. It's not an experience that I think bodes well when I see that, the government gives the utility companies the power to shut off your power when you need it for lots of reasons. And the only protection is a notice to the government that they've done it and the reason why. It's not, to me, prepping for wildfire season, unless prepping for wildfire season is here it comes and we're going to allow it. And now I'm on to the point of how you really start to read your headlines. They're 180 degrees out of what you think the world is constructed on. They use all this stuff to advantage themselves for the future we want. Prepping for wildfires is exactly what they're saying. They're going to allow them. And they're going to make it even harder for you folks to fight them. Well, I can get a pump and I can get this and I can get that. Well, you maybe should have that anyway, especially when you live in a fire-prone area. However, that does require what? An economy. You have to go get all this support equipment that's all now what? Gasoline-driven? Non-electrically driven in order to run your own pumps to defend it? That's a takings of your lifestyle, isn't it? So they extract from you some more and it makes like their economy looks good. When the power goes out, you run down and get a generator. Well, it makes the economy look good. All because they didn't put the infrastructure in to protect it from happening. Look at Texas. Oh, not a heat wave there. People died there too, didn't they? No, see, they take every opportunity. It doesn't matter which direction this disaster's happened. They just take advantage of it. Here, the wildfires are planned. They were planned. We've got a couple counties that made rules that they're not longer to be planned. It shut off the fires. And so they come back and say, we're going to shut off the power now. Totally incongruous with what you're looking at. It is a clue, is an earmark of what goes on. Is how you know them, whomever them is. It's these lunatics, these psychopaths, who somehow... Either they saw James Bond and identify with the villain, or somewhere we're told they can make the world a better place, and they actually believe that. The world would care. And then a lot of them got together. And we're in our lack of pushback, we're going to reap the reward here. And so folks are out in the West, for certain, anywhere you can have fire, Canada too, folks, it's everywhere. They blamed all the earth, the lightning strikes and fires in Canada. Yeah, 135, yeah, it happens every year, doesn't it? I mean, this is one of the problems. What people don't understand is the wildfire policies that are allowed, that they allowed to let them burn. Why do they take Australian command, fire commands and move them into places? And you look at Australia and it burnt. I've already talked about all this. It's because it's an underlying plan. These are organized criminal arsonists. Oregon State and other states that adopt this policy, like California, are setting you up for destruction by giving you the wrong answer. They're prepping for the wildfire they anticipate is going to burn you out. Not prepping to stop it. No. Making more impositions upon you to try and fight it when it comes on your doorstep. And yes, you then have to go out and invest more of your life savings, diminishing as it is, on increased costs of stuff, if you can find the material now. I just found out there's whole sectors of supply chains that are shut down right now. No parts flowing. You can't get parts. I don't know why. Everyone's at work. Not enough workers. That they do everything opposite what they're supposed to do is a clue. And until people step up and start helping to stop it, this is going to get a whole lot worse. I don't know where else to say. And I know it works because we've been working, again, this fire thing took 5 years of my life. 5 years of my colleague's life. 5 years of the life. Well, it was actually longer than that, but when I was working with my colleague, we were doing this, I was doing with a different colleague for years before that, working on what is this fire thing that they keep killing people with in different counties. So this is a dedication. I don't even know where it comes from. They want to kill us. And unless we're taking the steps to fight it, and we can, but there's just not enough of us. Your faith that something's going to work out isn't going to be enough. And the incongruity with this whole thing is just, again, get us back into the COVID. I know we'll go there and skip back out real quick. To show you the anomaly, the highest risk professions in Oregon are barred from instituting vaccine requirements. That's right. You heard it right. The high risk professions, the first responders, can't be required to get a vaccine. Last week, the Oregon Health Authority released data showing that 62% staff of the nursing homes and long-term health care facilities were vaccinated against COVID-19. The number is alarming because the nursing homes and other care facilities for the elderly had the most significant outbreaks in the country. Remember, they're talking about a fraud. They're talking about a self-inflicted wound. They're talking about not doing what they could have done to stop the problem, and they had no way to know because there is no test. This is what the Oregon Health Authority failed at. This is the thing they haven't arrested, where they can go after a representative who walked out of a building and let people who wanted him into their state house to go say, hey, we have to have a say on you interfering with infringing our constitutional rights. But the Oregon Health Authority found that only 62% of staffing nursing homes were vaccinating. That's interesting because this state was saying 70% vaccinated. So you start hearing the lie between them. But they don't have to. The first responders in Oregon cannot be made to take the vaccines. And you want to know why? Well, I'm not going to even discuss why. It's a fraud. And there's something behind why that was the effect. Think about this. What if that anticipates that these vaccines are no good for you and they don't want to incapacitate their first responders? As I told you early on, that I don't even know if they'd be getting the vaccine being an experiment. They might be getting saline. Oh, except until we found the study that said saline was more poisonous and toxic than the jab. These people. Oh boy, that ran a whole bunch more people down to get jabbed. And so in this story, you'll see the incongruity between what's in the law and what the policy, well, it's not policy too, what the implementation, the execution of these things is. Prepping for wildfire means taking away your power, letting the fire burn through. But when it comes to COVID fraud, no vaccines are required of the first responders, likely because they can't incapacitate their first responders, which should be a notice to you. Maybe you want a second think a vaccine, let alone that this is not even a vaccine they're talking about in COVID fraud, that the Oregon Health Authority, the Pioneer Police State imposer, will not find a contagious principle for it. And no one has stopped that. And I was talking to a couple of colleagues of mine and trying to get the proper things. I noticed a county in Oregon, the Baker County, had made a resolution about how they were going to, they were going to stop the COVID fraud mandates and all. And I looked at the, and I said, well, did they put the two most important points in? One, that there was no, in that county, in that city, the health authority did not find a contagious principal, or that they found no man or woman or business a risk to the public. Did they state that? And it was thought that they did. And I said, I want to see that bill. That'll be the first. I want to see that ordinance. That'll be the or resolution. That'll be the first one I've heard that did that. Well, it didn't. It was softball. The whole thing was softball. And when you get to the bottom line, the city was doing a symbolic gesture for the citizenry. And what they encourage this criminal in the office of Governor Brown in Oregon that comes up prepping for wildfires to allow the executive branch commission to take away your power instead of stopping the wrongful forest management, which causes the fuel loading in the first place, that what they want to do here is take away what you would have to protect yourself by imposing these other things without a basis, without a test. And I don't know, really, it seems to me, you look at what's going on, you look at the how they set this up, how so many people are falling for it, or said to fall for it. How you feel that you lived in a lockdown for a year and a half, and no official has brought a non-fraudulent exigency. They prep by taking away, making you live in austerity, or causing you, if you want to be self-reliant, to go get more, to take from yourself more of what you work for. They look at the incongruity with their first responders not having to get it, and then they come around and they force it on you at the cost of all your fundamental rights. And no one has a question in this state. And when a representative goes out a door and then he gets blamed for doing misconduct in a house that's supposed to be open to the public and the people while the government's in session, and nobody makes a comment to go after that in multiple ways, as I've suggested you all have a right to do. I don't know what's wrong with us on this current day coming in to all this. Which I've said a word here and there, but I'm not telling you the day yet. You think, I'm hoping you're anticipating it. Let me go on with that fact of the oppression, with the government getting in the wrong ways in every aspect in order to push these agendas, to show you that you're not the free people you thought you were, and just have to give a plausible suggestion that the rest of the government just wipes their hands with, as if they're crucifying Christ here. I'm going to move into a total different thing, but in government regulation on the other side of the country. Again, something where people making legislations are either informed and promoting an agenda, or they're ill-informed and they're making the wrong decisions. In Oregon, they know what they're supposed to be doing, and they're doing it wrong. That's why I know they're criminals. When they're taking away your power instead of requiring the local utility company to maintain their facilities up to standard like they're supposed to, and then turning around and making sure that the forests have no fuel in them and managed correctly, reinstituting the timber industry that they stole from people, which paid people's property taxes. There was no property taxes for a couple of years in the 70s. It was running very well. An industry paid for all the development. Somebody sabotaged that whole thing, and people now live on a less valuable less quality lifestyle, notwithstanding they say quality of life. All based on these agendas to destroy your life. Everything's an incremental encroachment. Everything brings into it the cancer, which will foster and encourage the further destruction, is developed in this next story, which is actually past. I didn't get to this one either in time. It's actually past. From a video I heard, should the government be in your hive? That's your beehive. Those of you that may not be beekeepers, you have to understand beekeeping is a thing. It's not just the urbanites saying, oh, we're going to save the bee. It's not about that at all. There's also things called pollinators. One of my colleagues is heavily into doing that with the BLM and the Forest Service, getting grave obstruction in trying to bring the law forward for pollinators generally. And he also has honeybees. And interestingly, we all come to this at some time as we've thought about this. But way back east in New York, should the government be in your hive? Very interesting gentleman, you'll have a link, and they just stopped the bill A7568. It's already passed. And this is a condition, so you see New York to Oregon. If you looked at Oregon's history, a lot of nonsense came out of New York. The attorneys from Oregon, from New York skipped into Chicago and then moved all the way to Oregon to start imposing their cancer back in the 1840s, I think it was. But this question currently and done, should a government be in your beehives? The whole point was this, and I'll give you the bill too, so you can look and see, for those of you that are interested in how legislation is passed and what you really, why you have to step up. This isn't more encroachment upon production. It's more encroachment. Bees are livestock, if you didn't know. And they do have illnesses and sicknesses. If you've heard colony collapse, that's just a generic term for really doesn't tell you nothing. There's a lot of things about bees anymore. And because they become kept now, like you do any livestock, that or New York State, admirably as it might seem, in the ocean, I suppose, suggested that they wanted to control disease. And there's some diseases that are literally killing bees every year that really would be good to stop. But to show you Oregon and the bookends, Oregon and New York are no different. They do the wrong things. This bill was passed, but it leads, and I want to point out how this is wrong just initially, and I'd like to have you, those of you that might be interested, to think about some of this thing. How your lives are encroached in certain ways. If you're not in a certain subject matter, any of us not in a subject matter would not be interested and may not know how life is being encroached. And you think it's on the, you know, it's good. We would stop disease. That's the problem. It's like climate change. Do you think, they've said trillions and trillions, and they're not going to touch climate change. It's already been known. All this is to take from you leverage funding to give to someone who can't do something ultimately. And this is in this bill that is now law in New York. And I'm advocating here, anybody who sees that this will be, probably may become model. And if it starts to sweep across the United States, talk about bee kill. Watch out. You're going to have some serious problems with the do-gooders trying to regulate beekeeping. Why? They say they want to eradicate disease. Like climate change, if it was a thing, that they don't even know about this stuff. They barely have a handle on things like varroa mite, things like any other disease that's in the bees. The varroa mite being the worst, the hive beetles, all this stuff. The varroa mite causes disease and is a parasite. And so they're focused in on that. And they use the word eradicate at a time nobody knows about this thing. No, there's no science. They don't even know. They're just barely hanging on to what pesticides they use. But this law will require that the state will impose what you will do. What I identified to my colleague who was in this, I said, be careful this little phrase here. They're now pushing people into best practices. Best practices is like best science. Best may not be good enough. So here's an imposition going to go, my opinion, is it's the wrong answer. Why? Two things. Eradication. They don't have a clue. And there's a couple theories on how you do this. It's really a serious condition. The destruction of these pollinators, is particularly the honeybees in this case, it can be very detrimental. However, to say that you know now before you even study what is good for this any parasite, you cannot claim you can eradicate. The bill is failed on its face. And then when you impose things that they know they can't, that will not eradicate, but barely manage, and there's alternatives, you take away the ability to go after the alternatives, which is what? The natural thing is life balancing with other life. parasites balancing with the host they feed on, which did happen with this varroa mite in Asia. There was a balance. It got distributed around the world, not so much anymore. Some bees are able to live in balance with this. You're never going to eradicate it. So the bill is wrong in trying to eradicate it. This is the high-sounding objective that can't be met, that everybody warm and fuzzy feels into it and claps their hands and says, oh, you're going to save the bee with this. No, they're not. They can't. The disease is not, essentially, I don't think it's eradicatable. It's certainly not the way the mindset of man works. And so they're constricting what is best practices through the state. They also require, and in most places it's just for commercial beekeepers, this one attaches to everybody, even the hobbyists. But they're going to require that you have an inspection from the state, and you have to pay money. And the tax, and this is not, the states are going to love this because the tax money, there's a whole tax class now that's created to do this, to fund this inspection. My first observation of that requirement was, that means that the state bee inspector will be the vector for the disease they're checking for. In other words, you'd have to be, to stop this, you have to be a surgeon, and even then we find that that's not good enough. You have to be sterilized each place you go to. And I don't know of any state inspector that would do, that does that or could do that. And so the state becomes the vector for the very things they say they're going to eradicate. And so, some of you may not be interested. I'm interested only because I'm not a beekeeper yet. I'm looking at, I watch high bees rob my swarm hives. So it's interesting to watch their behavior, but no one's moved in and colonized what I have to offer yet. And I've talked to a commercial beekeeper and I'm finding out I'm kind of in a fringe area. Maybe that may not happen, but I'm watching nonetheless that this comes in to your state and it makes the state the overlord of what you can do, takes away your ability to try and experiment on how to bring a balance between, you know, antibiotics don't work, and you know that the parasites get worse when you use antibiotics, and you also know that Norwegian countries stopped doing that, and they just started doing cleanliness and next to godliness, and they were able to stop the problem with the antibiotics not working. Is this problem? They start using certain types of chemistries, and the parasites learn how to live beyond it. And now what do you do? And then you take away the ability of the beekeeper who lives with it, like life's like a farmer and a rancher with their crops and their cattle and whatever. They're on the front line. They can use some help, but they don't need an oppressor to control their life. And so that's the other thing. They come in and they control your right to use your land the way you want to. So these bills are very detrimental. They will not solve the problem. It's like prepping for wildfires to give the power to a third party to shut off your power right when you need it. Is having a state inspector who is supposed to eradicate disease move from infected spot to infected in another spot. And these diseases are just like, for bees, are just like people diseases. They are really hard to deal with. And so, just on the point of, it's 180, when the government gets involved, it takes away what you had the right to do, is your problem. You're not non-dependent of that interdependence. They've changed the word, but the real word is really independence. And where am I getting to? Exactly the point. Your Independence Day is you promoting that you're independent of the condition that you're living in. And as Solomon pointed out, it was non-dependence, and I readily agreed with that. We're non-dependent, self-reliant. We are mutual aid of each other. But I'm not independent with you, necessarily. However, this was what's been promoted. And when we look at this Independence Day, how is it not an immense, I don't have the adjectives. What level of at least embarrassment is this to come off of within days of a year and a half long prison lockdown where none of y'all, even the ones that were even vociferating against it, stepped up for yourselves, like I suggested in the habeas, to say that you are living in a nation that's free, of free people. I'm just stunned. I'm stunned. Now, I know not everyone's celebrating, but it's beyond just saying, I'm not celebrating. This really is a work. You can have the faith that you're going to be free, but you have to work for it. But Independence Day, it's a federal holiday. Where does this holiday? Would it come from Europe? This is another thing I've noticed, the adjustments of words. It's like we're being adjusted to that global European view. In fact, our land use policies are European implementations. And those of us that look at this, I would hope you do, because that's the land where you stand. That's your land is being converted into a European management system. It's not that from production like it the law says it's to be and to be maintained that way, and to which all governments are in the United States of America are beholden to protect. I know we don't see that, but that's in the law. And so this is a federal holiday, this independent. You're independent. In there, you're dependent. You're in the dependence. When you understand, when I have done the research for myself, I don't know about the rest of you, when you start to watch what went on, when you understand that Treaty of Peace, what the Treaty of Peace really does, and you understand the commercial nature of this place and the Article 6 attachments after the independence, the Declaration of Independence, you start to realize the prison that was actually set up, and nobody threw it off. No one worked to it, and COVID showed us that's not going to be happening at all. Maybe at all, but at least in the near future. That we celebrate today at all, an Independence Day, is, again, beyond embarrassment. I just don't have the words. I don't really like to think about it too much. And so, no, I'm not much of in a celebratory mood. I'm watching nations of people destroyed, in particular the United States of America. We had a much better system that we were required. They told us that the people were required to keep in check. Keep the Republic was not a wish, not a guess, not a wish list. It was an obligation. And I see far from it. I'm just appalled to listen to people, not necessarily the listenership, but the choir, if you will. The people believe that they're a free people after coming down off of a fraudulent lockdown and watch their governments do this and promise to do it tomorrow, if you will. Coming on, folks. Well, I've been trying to figure out how do I break away from this? It's done. We're done. I don't need to talk about it no more. No one moved. And yet it's so important. I don't even know how I'm going to break away from this Kobe fraud, because it shows us down to the man or the woman, the work we could have done to extricate ourselves and actually bring out what the freedom was that we could have had. And we would have done it mutually. Okay? That's, I think, the big, not in unity, mutually. Because we each see in ourselves what we want to do for each other. Anyway, enough there. Moving into now a bit, going into the Republic we can keep, but not necessarily there. I'm going to refer to a book that people may not agree with. I don't know. I don't know what the animosity is. To me, these old books tell us a lot. And this book, the Bible, is all kinds of books. I don't mean the books that were assembled. I mean the subject matter that's spoken to. And what occurred to me, and what I don't know how this, as I do my research, things come up, and I go down little tracks to pull together insights that come to me, to pull together. This phrase is what got me to go here. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, the whole law, yet offend one, he is guilty of all. Really spoke to me in context of this supposed Independence Day, the federal holiday, not your holiday, not the people's, not the state, not your private right holiday, no, the federal U.S. holiday, that whoever shall keep the whole law yet offend one is guilty of all, is an important truth. It sets the very highest bar. And I think about this maybe in the lowest setting, easier to see, that you can be a very diligent person, office, when I say person, the officials, and then commit fraud, and you've undone everything. As soon as you can do right, until you do wrong, when you do wrong, you're out. And this is what Kobe fraud's about. They could be doing right, but then they relied on fraud, and they undid the whole thing. Is what starts to speak to me here. The high standard of us of doing for ourselves in a very high level of integrity. And so this passage came to my mind. What was interesting about this passage is that what I've been kind of setting forth here, it's not just that your faith to be free. It's not just that, oh, you believe that you're free. It's not just that you have this, you believe it's going to be okay in the future. It takes work. And this, whoever shall keep the whole law yet offend even one point, he is guilty of all. It really spoke maybe more to the commandments and people. You can keep most of them, but you keep one and you violate one, you've just violated the whole thing. In other words, this is a Unitarian concept of keeping yourself, and I know that's a bad word, Unitarian, but it's the one concept that it spoke to our fallen nature as people, that anything we broach in that will bring us down. Now, I attach it to the official thing where the official can be perfectly good, but if they don't keep the law in one aspect, they bring it all down, is what you saw in Kobe fraud. And across the board, why, if you will, this is a judgment on us, and I say this is a judgment by points out to what does this section, is James 2:10, I think it is. 2:10, yes. What's it really, part of it, the subject matter is faith and works. And if this is the thing I keep talking about, like the Lieber Code, you can have faith that your nation's the greatest, this and that, but if you don't work to keep it, forget it, you're going to lose it. Faith without works is dead. And I'm not speaking in the biblical context, but it all works the same. We can have the faith that we're going to be okay, but if we don't work to keep it, you don't keep the republic. Like I see happening in COVID, to my dismay, we will be suffering a judgment, if you will, of sorts. Not getting to sound too biblical. I don't like even thinking that I'm turning people off. I'm talking about principles to people. I'm trying to get people to act in defense of themselves. And you may think that you're free, have the faith you're free, but if you don't work constantly to keep someone from invading your space, your psyche, your condition, your actions, someone will come to take that away. And the funny farm. And Kobe fraud is that defining moment in our history. And we were here, maybe on purpose, to either watch it or work against it. And we can't. At any rate, these ideas come along. I don't want to get too locked into it. But we've been locked down. The fraud happened, destroying the whole, and no one stood up. And then today, we're supposed to celebrate an independence? We're supposed to send up, so talking with Cowboy Tech, fireworks to burn how insane is this? We're sending up fireworks in a celebration to burn up the forest side, the watershed. Amazing. We've been in a lockdown for over a year, and nobody did a peep, and nobody really came out on top to show the example. Why? It was because you're not a free people by the system that has grown up around and inside this thing as a cancer. The republic was not kept, is not a celebratory position. And I have to say it, I am not in a celebratory mood. Are you? And if you're not, what are your works in the faith that you think you're free? What did you violate along the way that made you fall? And I'm not blaming anybody. Every one of us does something. I've been unable to get anybody to actually push through. At the point of, let's say, my colleagues and then people I work with are trying to get a county to say the right thing, I've been unable to get that to happen. And I haven't figured out why. Why is it so hard for two sentences to be placed to properly set up a resolution and be more than symbolic is really the answer. But why is it so hard for people to do that? It's really been an interesting observation from my standpoint. And we're going to be suffering the judgment for failing to keep that one point up, the work. And I was sent this link, notice of this situation in South Africa from David Tulis, the Tennessee case. So again, going through the brief, starting to read through the appeal, the Bar Association, it really, really is the organized criminal syndicate that I've been talking about, that you may actually believe that you've, many of you have walked up against and got beaten, thrown down, beaten down, and stopped. These people are just the worst, just the worst of it. Part of it's because it's part of the function of the government. They are inbred in the government, the organized criminals. And this is global. Rule of law. Rule of law? Rule of law. It's a brand. It's a brand of that you should know you cannot claim being free when you're subject to it, and everybody is at this point. At least, okay, so you're at least subject to it, and you won't get a right answer. Like, for when I say that, I hesitate because I put paperwork in against this, and I shut that system down from acting any further, but that's it's like a hostile tension that's built, not a resolution and remedy. There's no relief from that. When you see the rule of law globally, or most of the land, you find out the oppression that even everyone, including the United States, why the United States cannot claim to be non-dependent, free people. Where David Tulley sent me this story, says, lockdown, you have a right to sue government, I won't stop you. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, I suppose, of the South Africa, said, in those that want to address the fraud that they live under. And a gentleman stood up to do that. Right on point of what I've been saying, Ricardo Maraman did do a lawsuit. And their court, their rule of law court, came back. And I want you to know about this, because those of you that want to fight, you got to think about this dynamic. This is a global thing. It's why the Tulis petition in Tennessee made the assertion that the Bar Association would come in to defend the fraud and the irreparable harm. It was set up in the petition to anticipate it, and that's what's gone on. And that point is not well taken by them, which is completely understandable when you're dealing with organized criminals who got caught, especially those that profess to tell you, deny, deny, deny. This is not even exciting. This is exactly what you could anticipate. A lot of what people say is no justice, most people back off because there's no justice. Doesn't mean you have no work to do to reestablish your freedom. But this president of South Africa says, go ahead and sue me. I won't stop you. Of course. Then you go in and someone like Ricardo Maraman does so. And the court comes back and says, what you've brought us is not an imperative. Your irreparable harm under the rule of law globally is not an imperative. Like we're finding out in places that have decided so far, fraud is not going to be entertained by the courts. Why? Because they're committing it. And to agree to it means it exposes the judiciary itself as committing it. If you expect justice in that system, you're deluded. If you back off from that, you agree to that injustice. Why we need to come together and keep that republic for ourselves, so that one day maybe being non-dependent is the thing that we strive for, where the government of the United States wanted you and caused you to be dependent, independent. The more perfect union, subject to the exceptions in Article 6 of the Constitution, the interpositionary document which caused the change is the Declaration of Independence, which was supposed to be that independence, which is, how short-lived was that anyway? The people did not do the work to keep it. Maybe that's why they don't see the judgment that they've now agreed to, consented to, in the Covey fraud, right in your face. That a man steps up in South Africa, and I've got you the link to this. You go through and look at his, they're dealing with the same problems. They're in talking with each other, people talking with each other, a lot better than I see around here in the United States, but talking with each other, what's the approach? What's going on? How do we do this? One man stepped up. He got told that this is not, the irreparable harm is not not bad enough. Guess what he didn't do though? He challenged all the methods, but he didn't say it was a fraud. And so that has not even been done, except for one case I know, where you assert the fraud, and then we watched how the judiciary, the rule of law, did everything it could to absurdly agree to allow it. Interestingly, in a jurisdiction called what's called Chancery, it's the equity jurisdiction, which does not, by any principle, agree to that. How bold these organized usurpers are in your life, that today you come and say you're independent, they've wave the flag and do your forest fire causing explosions and red glare. I need to do that story about, maybe it is a story, but it's that story about why we have the Star Spangled Banner. Maybe I'll do that sometime. Gotta pull too much production together. But Ricardo Marmon sued like similar, very, very close. The same considerations I've been telling you. They're on point. They got a bunch of people starting to come together back in South Africa, and they get the same response and the same lack of arrest of an irreparable harm based in fraud as you get everywhere else. Has to tell you, it doesn't matter whether or not you think you're free and independent in the United States. You are all suffering the same oppression, and you won't do the work to extricate yourself. Moving on. Same subject, COVID fraud. German intelligence puts coronavirus deniers under surveillance. Older story. Couple months. Germany's domestic intelligence service said on Wednesday that it would surveil members of increasingly aggressive coronavirus denier movement because they posed a risk of undermining the state. What state is that? It's the future we want. What state is that? It's like the Pioneer Police State of Oregon, where they want to, the way they prep for wildfires, to give the power company more control to turn off the power while the fire goes through. Don't harvest the trees so it doesn't do it. Don't make the forest nice and clean the way they can. They were back in the 70s when there was wealth being generated. There was no property taxes in the places that did it, and the wildfires were a whole lot less intense. No, don't do it like that. No, get your domestic surveillance service on it. Well, what did they talk to us about? That happened in, 9/11, didn't it? 9/11, they said exactly the same thing. You became an enemy combatant for a misdemeanor in this country, and you were going to be under surveillance for misdemeanors, and that's just accused. And you've watched this whole thing devolve, and now you're in jail just because you're an asymptomatic. You're still sug. You free? Are you independent, like most people think being independent of something? Reword that word in means attached to the dependence. Non-dependent is so much more clean to understand you were not that. We should have been relative to the Declaration of Independence intention. And that is what I've been suggesting to you is how we go about doing that again. Not with the latent and covert societies underneath all that as well, on top of all this. But it is a pathway through. It's reflected in our discussions with the Virginia counties, sanctuary gun county type thing. I told you, no, the better answer was in the Constitution. You had the mass of the community to respond against what they were doing, and you failed to keep the republic. You went to some useless, not you, just people. They went to, the people thinking that they were going to support their rights, went to some inferior condition, likely handed to them to bite onto. But Germany's domestic intelligence service said that they were going to go after coronavirus deniers. Well, I would say, folks, those of you in Germany, if you're listeners, thank you very much. Maybe you should send a letter and say, I do not deny the common cold. Because remember, that's not COVID-19 pandemic. And then if they want to go the other way, you say, well, why don't you show me the, then you do the 2 points. You say, I want you, before you attach yourself to me like I'm presumed guilty, because in that country you probably are. We at least have the illusion in America, but there you probably are, that you then say, show me where I am a contagious principal or I'm a risk to the public by health authority under law. You start there for yourself. All these people need to go and go after this, go at the domestic intelligence service for advancing a fraud upon you that you could be surveilled for even denying the common cold. But you come out and say, I'm not, but that's not what we're talking about. You've committed a fraud in the public, and I want you now to get to the point. Show where the public health authority has identified me as a contagious principal. Show where I've been determined through due process to be a risk to the public. Is the entire last year and a half of what I've been telling you to do distilled down to those two sentences? There certainly can be more. But that's the two things that you go against, because Germany's domestic intelligence service is likely not somebody you want to mess with, like the FBI or the CIA or the FEMA or the local health authority now being the tyrant that it is, or the local governors on top with the apparatus they now are setting up, preparing to set you alight in like wildfire. Why? Because you're not doing the hard work to step up. You're not doing, you believe in this faith that you're a free people. This is everywhere. But more importantly in the United States, where they actually wrote it down. And no one believed in it that much either. And so why? Because no one's stepping up and doing the work that it takes to identify for yourself. It doesn't apply. Like these people did, Supreme Court rejects plea by landlords to lift the federal eviction moratorium. The Supreme Court is leaving a pandemic-inspired national ban on evictions in place over the votes of four objecting conservative justices. Can I stop there? First of all, we know that the pandemic inspiration was not called out for fraud. Number two, how is it able, because it blames Congress did the right thing, how is Congress and the agencies, executive agencies, able to formulate a plan on your private property, which they were divested of when they disposed the land to whoever was your predecessor by the patent in the state under state law, where the state has the exclusive authority by IHR 2005, International Health Regulation, reservation of the United States government itself, that this determination is in the states. How did the Supreme Court overlook all this is a clue that you are not living in a land that enjoys the inspiration of an Independence Day. They upheld it. We're so deluded. In another story, the landlords come out and say, Supreme Court gave property owners a victory in evictions ban ruling because one justice said things went too far. Never says there's no evidence of a fraud, though, do they? No, these are all bar members or prior bar members. And the landlords are deluded to try and find a crumb of freedom to their property rights in New York. And said, one justice recognized things went too far. They went too far when nobody stopped the fraud. Forget all this stuff. It went too far when, even if you didn't stop the fraud, Congress had no right to make a national ban on evictions when they don't have the right to the property. What kind of a people are we that we celebrate Independence Day for the federal government holiday, no less, and totally hand over our property rights local to the state, where the power was within the county, obligated to protect you and your property, not lead you into believe you get to register your property so they can ad valorem tax you out of existence. On the other hand, of that private property violation, Supreme Court rules against labor in private property case barring access for organizations. I find it fascinating. This story came in last week. I think Sound Minds brought it to my notice. This happened last week. A blow to organized labor divided Supreme Court ruled in favor of two California fruit farmers on Wednesday who said union organizing on their orchards represented an unconstitutional taking of private property. Apparently, Congress, in violation of its disposal and its obligation to protect the disposal, wasn't an unconstitutional taking of private property, but a union using your property to do pretty much the same thing, promote propaganda, is the week before. Can't be a law of the land, folks. And remember, we're not dealing in that. We're dealing in common law fashion. which we defined later, earlier in the last, they defined in that court case, is to be essentially international law and admiralty. International law, remember, 1907 Kansas versus Colorado case. I've talked about all this stuff altogether. International law is always regarded. Always is a big word. Well, if international law is always regarded, how the heck does a foreign United States district have a continuing hold on a grant of disposed land to you in the states? That's international. The states are abroad each other. Abroad as in England is abroad the United States. Across the seas. Think about this, folks. The United States of America, the states, were countries considered abroad each other, among the sea. Okay? Do I get all freaked out about admiralty? No, why don't you go read the Federal Rule 9 and go figure out why they even put Federal Rule 9 in? Because admiralty is so screwed up relative to what common law is, they didn't know how to tie it together. And you have a whole bunch of stuff you can use through there if you just know what you're looking at, if that's where you find yourself. Or how about do better? Just avoid the whole thing. But no, we have the Supreme Court running down those landlords who believe they got a victory, taking away, in violation of, handing Congress the power to continue to violate your rights and your property. And then in the week before that, they gave unions the boot and said, no, these producers, you can't use their land. You can do something else. You can accommodate what you need to do off-site, off the private property. I agree. They shouldn't, if they want to talk, the union wants to talk to the people, they can invite them to a meeting hall. You don't interfere with someone's property rights. That has been a terrible law. But it serves to show the wrongness, and this goes way back to 1938, I think, the wheat case, where the Supreme Court violated again the disposal to the wheat farmer and said because he was growing wheat, he was in commerce and affected commerce to gain control. Completely a violation. It's not in commerce. It's production. It can't be converted to commerce. Once it's in commerce, it's in commerce. And so they've got an adulteration. I talked about this last week as well. I tie a bunch of stuff together. If people really did the research, they'd really see how this place is wired, why things are happening the way they are, and how we should be embarrassed to continue to celebrate an Independence Day. If you're going to celebrate that, you should be making your own Independence Day. I don't mean you individually. We mutually are going to need to declare a new independence. And we will take the lead, if you will, of what we see happen, but bring it more into coalescing what ought to have happened. But to tell you the truth, I look around the society, I look around about in social media and things, and I don't know that we're a people that are capable right now, and to my chagrin. Because I guess, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, I came at this 30 or so years ago, I noticed a lot of good people fighting hard, getting beat down by the government, a lot of it on tax matters. I never got into that, I just watched that. I realized I didn't have to get involved in there. In fact, I positioned myself so I wouldn't have to. I learned that quickly. I watched how people got brought down. Well, I thought at some point early on, people would be interested to know really better how to approach this, how to protect ourselves. And there would seem to be a whole lot of people in the 80s and 90s, lots of people doing this stuff. Lots of wrong answers, too, as I try to warn you against. And I thought at some point that people would be interested if I could, because at the time I didn't know. I would be studious. I would be a student of my own study. And I would study what was going on. I would figure this systemic thing out. And that people would be interested to hear how this thing was wired in order so they could disassemble it or maybe move aside it, maybe even better. And to my chagrin, all this time, especially with COVID, and it really causes me a wavering in my own faith about the people. But the works continue here because there is that underlying problem. That people weren't actually really interested to take responsibility if they found out. And that causes me a bit of pause. But still, if I'm not resisting at some whatever I can, with whom I can, my works are dead. Just as we see the works and the faith in John 2:12, it means nothing. If you don't have them together, it means nothing. I don't care if you go biblical. Forget the biblical. Just figure it out. You have a faith in you that you don't work with and work on and work to promote or work to keep. Now it's just trying to keep it. You're dead. You may breathe, and you may look around your room while you got your mask. You just took your mask off your face because you just went outside. But you're dead. You're dead inside. You're dead to the law. You're dead to your own future. And the Supreme Court can make two decisions, 1 week out of the next, honors private property and destroys it in the next. It is not a system of law. It's rule o law. Not law, it's how we rule about the law. It's as law, like you're as money. And speaking of as money, the fallen fiat is even better than nothing, better than digital. Long story back, as we move this thing through, where is this property that we have to maintain? Well, it's not in the attorneys and representatives. It's not in have somebody, the lawyer, represent our position when, at least my experience, it's very easy to understand how you're supposed to go, and no attorney will, as you've seen. No attorney in the whole world has advanced a fraud. We've seen some reflection in the court cases. A couple of governments, courts, have come out to say that they're, well, at least from the PCR, was not meaningful, right? We had, what was that, Portugal was the first I report on. There was Holland and Austria. They said that COVID was unlawful, but it wasn't necessarily that it was a fraud. But we still got those to stand up. The Netherlands did the same thing, but then they've reversed theirs. There is a sentiment out there, but it's like all the judges. You've got to go a long way to find a good judge. They're out there. You know, there's people that actually do some of this, but there's so far and few in between. And the global rule of law construction is so complete, is why you see the destruction so universal and without relief, notwithstanding the Constitution. Notwithstanding the constitutions that were supposed to be the product of a declaration of independence that was supposed to stop oppression. You look very carefully, none of that actually was going on. The Treaty of Peace explains what went on, why Congress retained commerce, and how the Supreme Court in 38 in a week case destroyed your property rights. Even though I don't believe they're destroyed, we just don't have the mutual defense, if you will, to come back and show how all that was wrong. That even as fiat, as money, is more powerful than the fictional coming on the digital age that I'm going to just now report now. Where's your property? Your property is whatever's tangible. And that's that 9/10, not the 10/10 thing. So much for a cashless society. Currency is popular again, especially the $100 bill. Well, you're going to need a $100 bill because everything I see is coming off the shelf is going to cause that to go evaporate with this undermining of your buying power has been explained, and why the fiat's not necessarily any good. But what's the power here? The power is in the tangible use of a dollar, that thing that needs to be printed, the thing that has to be tangible. The modern finances require a lot of trust, and its digital future will demand still more. If, for example, electronic payments are to replace cash, people must be willing to believe that the bits of data traveling among phone cards, terminals, blockchains actually represent something of value. Folks, I'll tell you now, they don't, and they're not secured. They're not securable. There's nothing about them that's secured, and you need to think twice. But the point here is even the fiat becomes more powerful because it shows property and it shows a contract between you and someone else, which is not to be undermined in the constitutions, back to the constitutions that no one wants to seem to recognize, that we all seem to give lip service to as we say, hooray, we have an Independence Day. Not realizing that whole place, that whole thing is a trap. It's an example of what we have to redo again, but do better, and yet we abandon all the tangible proofs and the tangible actions that we need to do. COVID fraud was allowed to happen on an intangible belief system and a narrative. The fiction of the $100 bill is an intangible, but when you get it in your hand, you can make a contract and it represents something, and you can adjust that to be more tangible in property if you thought to. Please do so. We're not independent. We're dependent in the system that was created around us. Grimner, thank you for what you do at RealLibertyMedia.com. Get better well soon, quickly, please. I know you are trying your best. Everyone else who does syndication and stuff, thank you very much. And I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs or nature will.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.